Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Buracement PLC's conference call to investors and analysts for the first quarter 2021 unaudited financial statements. All participants are currently in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. Participants on the webcast may submit their questions in the text box at the bottom of the page. Participants on the conference call, if you wish to ask a question later during the conference, please press star and then one on your touch-tone phone. If you need assistance from the operator, please signal by pressing star and then zero. This event is also being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Yusuf Bindji. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for the first quarter 2021 conference call for investors and analysts. My name is Yusuf Bindji. I'm the Managing Director, CEO of Buracement PLC, and presenting with me on this call are Mr. Jack Bukowski, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Finn Arnoldson, the Group CEO. Now I will begin my presentation. I'm sure you have copies of the slides, and we'll go page by page. I will try to be as brief as I can, since you must have gone through the slides previously. If you will kindly turn with me to slide six. Buracement is one of Africa's leading cement manufacturers and the largest cement producer across the Northwest, Southeast, and South-South regions of Nigeria. Buracement operates from two states using three modern production lines with an annualized capacity utilization rate above 60%. It is noteworthy to mention that before the end of 2021, Buracement will become the second-largest cement producer in Nigeria with the commissioning of its 3 million metric ton per annum production line number three in Sokoto State. At the end of the first quarter 2021, we achieved a 3.5% rise in cement dispatched to 1.4 million tons from 1.3 million tons as at the end of the first quarter of 2020, which translated to a 13.4% growth in revenue to 61.2 billion naira from 54 billion naira as at Q1 2020. Buracement is listed on the Nigerian Exchange Group, NGX, formerly the Nigerian Stock Exchange, and is the fourth most capitalized company with a market cap of 2.35 trillion naira as at March 2021. We are sustainability-led by the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and currently assigned investment grade rating by four most rating agencies, Agusto & Co and GCR. Now, if we turn to slide seven, we showcase our journey so far, culminating in the issuance of a 115 billion naira corporate bond, which is the largest bond issue in the history of Nigeria's debt capital market. The next slide showcases our strategic positioning across Nigeria together with the output capacities across our plants. As you can see from that slide, we have two plants, one located in Sokoto in the northwestern part of Nigeria, with a total installed capacity of 2 million metric tons per annum. The third line, which I mentioned earlier, will be commissioned before the end of the year, will add another 3 million tons per annum. The second production line is located in Edo State. We have two lines with a total installed capacity of 6 million tons per annum. Now, if you'll turn with me to slide number 10, we provide you with highlights from the quarter just ended. Our sustained performance and positive outlook was underpinned by unceasing cement demand, an excellent business model ensures continued value creation and cost containment measures. EBITDA increased by 20.5% to 29.7 billion naira from 24.6 billion as at Q1 2020, while the EBITDA margin expanded to 48.5% from 45.6% as at Q1 2020. Similarly, profit after tax rose by 13% to 22.4 billion naira, with earnings per share also up by 13% to 66 kobo from 53 kobo for the same period last year. We continue to monitor market trends and yields as we plan the Series 2 bond issue in support of our expansion program, all in a bid to grow our market presence and create value, particularly given the unabated demand for cement and its attendant impact on price. During the quarter, our EPC contractor mobilized the site to commence the construction of 3.7 kilometer road to Afokpela, one of our host communities in Okpela Town, Edo State. This is to aid the easy commuting agrarian community to and from their farms and equally allow for the effortless conveyance of their produce. If you recall, during our last conference call, I stated that the goal is to identify and get involved in impactful projects, and we remain very committed to this cause. Turning to slide 11, this is a highlight of our sustained performance and positive outlook. In view of this, our revenue per ton increased by 9.6% to 44,520 naira per ton from 40,625 naira per ton as at Q1 2020 due to some adjustments we made in the discount structure. Similarly, EBITDA increased by 20.5% to 29.7 billion naira, arising from increased business activity. Over the next quarters, we expect an increase in EBITDA, resulting from the commissioning of the 3 million tons Line 3 in Sokoto, aimed at addressing the persistent demand for cement. The EBITDA margin was up 2.9% to 48.5% from 45.6%, a combination of increased volume dispatched and a focus on costs. On slide 12, we show the evolution of EBITDA driven by revenues. EBITDA was up 20.5% to 29.7 billion naira, arising from a 13.4% growth in revenue, and despite a 6.9% increase in cost of sales to 32.1 billion naira due to energy and maintenance costs. Selling, distribution and administrative costs rose by 16.5% or 492.6 million naira due to an increase in distribution cost, which was up by 40% to 1.6 billion from 1.1 billion as at Q1 2020. All this arising from higher transportation costs and salaries. Depreciation and amortization charges were up 10.7% to 4 billion naira from 3.6 billion naira during the corresponding period ended March 2020. The increase resulting from the expansion program. Despite the rising inflationary environment which we operate in, prioritizing our cost containment measures is very important to us. If you observe, our cost profile trails well below the reported inflation rate at the end of March 2021. Against this backdrop, we recorded a 3.3% rise in cost of sales per ton to 23,324 naira per ton from 22,577 naira per ton. The increase in energy prices resulted in an 8.2% rise in energy cost per ton to 8,660 naira per ton from 8,006 naira per ton as at Q1 2020. Nevertheless, we expect the commissioning of the LNG gasification plant in Sokoto is going to result in cost competitiveness as we substitute foreign coal with liquefied natural gas. Distributions recorded during the quarter led to a 35.3% increase in selling and distribution cost per ton, a rise to 1,135 naira per ton from the 839 naira per ton as at Q1 2020. On slide 14, we show the LNG storage and regasification plant, which will become operational later this month and will further drive energy efficiency across our operations. Turning to slide 15, we highlight the ongoing strategic priorities, which we continue to make good progress on. On slide 16, we provide update on our expansion program. Currently, the sites have been identified, approved, and the contractors have mobilized the site. Besides, some ancillary contracts negotiations are being carried out. We will provide frequent updates through the course of the year on developments. On this note, may I kindly ask that the lines be open so we can respond to some of the questions that you may have. I will be supported in answering your questions by Mr. Jack Pilinski, who is the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Finn Arnoldsen, the Group COO for Cement. Thank you, gentlemen, for listening.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen on the conference call, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. Participants on the webcast, if you wish to submit a question, please do so at the bottom of the page. Our first question is from Mustafa Wahab of Chapel Hill Denham. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, fantastic. I would like to first congratulate you on the fantastic results in Q. And so my question really is going to be on the energy cost perspective. I see how you mentioned that Bua is, you know, making a lot of progress on the LNG storage that is being installed. So I just want to get a sense as to how much reduction are we going to be seeing from the energy cost per ton perspective. Now, I've seen, you know, an amazing work that you guys have done as far as, you know, keeping costs in check, but I still see that energy cost per ton for Bua is still way above that of, you know, your major competitor. So I just want to get a sense as to what you are doing, to at least, you know, reduce that sort of, you know, energy cost per ton point of view. And secondly is on pricing outlook. I just want to get a sense as to how, you know, you guys are seeing, you know, prices, you know, going to be shaping over the rest of 2021. I've seen that, you know, in Nigeria, I think average price rose by roughly 9% in Q1 alone. Should we be expecting something like this going forward, or you know, there's another plan, you know, as far as management is concerned? So I would like to get a thought on those two questions for now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wahab, and I must also extend my congratulations to you on positive analysis which was released earlier in the week on our QR results. Thank you for that. Regarding the LNG, we certainly do expect some reduction in the cost. The LNG is going to be used in our factory in Sokoto. Sokoto is located very far away from any major cheap source of energy, as it's being used by the other cement plants in Nigeria. There are no gas pipelines running up to the north. So we decided to create a virtual pipeline whereby liquefied natural gas will be trucked from Port Harcourt all the way to Sokoto and stored in cryogenic tanks for regasification and use. Definitely, the cost of the gas is much, much cheaper than the cost of the LPFO, which we have been using for our pyro process and also for powering our generators. As these prices do fluctuate quite a bit and some of them are dollar denominated, I will not be able to give you a figure. The differences have changed from the time we conceptualized this project up to today. But definitely there is a saving cost. But most importantly for us, it is a more secure and reliable form of energy for our Sokoto plant, which had been relying on imported LPFO and imported AGO for both power generation and for firing the kiln. This LNG is coming from Nigeria, so I think we are ruling out a lot of the uncertainties associated with importation of a very scarce product, especially during this pandemic. Yes, it's true. Our energy cost per ton still appears to be a bit higher than that of the competitors. I'm sure you have done your comparative analysis very well. This is mostly coming out of our factory in Sokoto. And this is related to the answer I gave you for the first on the first part of your question. Because Sokoto, because of the distance, is 1,000 kilometers away from the port. You have to factor in this transportation cost in the hinterland. You have to factor in the fact that it is using LPFO, which is not available, which is being imported, and diesel, instead of gas, which other cement plants in the southwest, and also our own factory in Okpela, in Edo State, are using, because they are pipeline gas. Pipeline gas and coal still remains the cheapest form of energy compared to the liquid fuels. So definitely, it is not unexpected. It is not due to any technical deficiency or inefficiency. It is just the energy. The cement process is highly energy intensive, as most of you are aware. So any variation in the cost of energy will actually be reflected in the ultimate cost per ton. But definitely, we are not doing badly, and it is our desire and hope to bring it further down by introduction of LNG and also moving away from using imported coal, which will happen sometime before the middle of this year, and we'll substitute that by the cheaper LNG. Yes, regarding the prices, I will just say a little, and I will also ask Mr. Finn, if he's with us, to chip in a bit. The prices in real terms have not really gone up much. We are very much, we are not unaware of the hardship faced by Nigerians. And if you look at the inflation rate and the rising cost of so many inputs, especially diesel, which we are using for transporting our cement because we are not using any rail network, the devaluation of the Naira and everything, we have decided to absorb all the extra costs and we have not done any price increase. We only did some slight adjustments to our discount structure, but the price of cement has not been increased between last year and this year. We are absorbing the extra cost, and we are trying to be a bit more efficient so that we don't pass this on to the ultimate consumers. But Mr. Finn can also say more about the trend for the future. Finn?
Yeah, MD, good afternoon to everybody. Yeah, as Mr. Yusuf is saying here, I mean, the inflation we are all observing, you know, it looks like if you compare to Q1 last year, it's around 18% the inflation. But of course, on our cost side, we try to be very cautious because mainly our cost buildup is also based upon local material. You know, the raw material cost, the energy cost, everything here is more or less based upon local supply here. And we have long-term agreements here with many suppliers, and so we are very much following our cost very strictly, despite that we are observing generally the inflation here. Yeah, you can say that it should be natural to try to adjust your prices when the general cost level in the country is going up. But as the MD is communicating, we have a kind of a strategy that we now want rather to concentrate on to stay more competitive. That means we have to trim our structure very well here, optimize both on the distribution cost, which we still have some way to go in order to optimize the consolidation between our two activities, and of course also on the energy cost, as the MD is saying. So there is no really need to start to try to compensate, you know, for whatever the surroundings are telling us on the prices here. So no intention to do this, rather stay more competitive. If you look at the prices, you know, the ex-works prices from the suppliers today, comparable to West Africa, it's low. If you go to Benin, Togo, Niger, you talk about something like 20%-30% higher cost from the producers. So still Nigeria is operating on relatively low prices compared to other countries and neighbors we are having in West Africa. So I think that's it. You know, there's not much to say about it. We can never predict the future here, but as it looks today, we will be try to be more competitive on the prices, improve our margin, but we will not really take out premiums on the price as it looks today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the insights.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen on the conference call, again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one. Gentlemen, we have no questions in the queue. My apologies. We do have a question from Adedayo Ayeni of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Maybe my first question really has to do with the demand environment. If we take the trend from last year, demand really started spiking in the third quarter. And we saw that in the final quarter. We've also seen that if we take the total numbers reported by yourself and by the other two competitors that you have, demand still remains strong. Now, the question really is, where is that demand coming from? You know, you're selling cement in the north and you're also in the southeast. You know, where is the core of that demand coming from? That's the first. Secondly, on government-driven projects, what is the trend that you're seeing? Anything on infrastructure, anything on bulk cement sales for you that probably points to a maybe stronger outlook for demand in the rest of the year versus sort of this slowdown that we have seen in the last couple of, you know, months. And maybe finally on pricing. You're adding 3 million this year. Your other competitor is adding another 6 million, just a few kilometers from where you are in Opella. You know, what is your, you know, internally, what are you thinking about on pricing, right? How are you thinking around pricing going out into the rest of the year? And I think that's it from my side for now. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. I didn't get the name clearly. Is that Ayeni from Stanbic Capital?
Yes, it's Ayeni from Renaissance Capital.
Oh, Renaissance Capital, okay. Thank you very much. Regarding the demand, obviously the demand is coming from Nigerians. Well, you see, there has been an unprecedented demand for cement in the last 1 year. And the demand is still very, very strong, even for us as manufacturers. This is unprecedented. There could be so many reasons, and it's not coming from any particular geographical region. It is all over Nigeria. All the market regions where we are, the demand has been very, very strong. Even areas where traditionally we used to have dips, especially during the rainy season, we didn't experience that during Q3 last year. And it has continued unabated up to today. Of course, what it means is that Nigerians are really spending more on infrastructure, and they are buying a lot of our products. Now, anybody trying to use the figures for the last 1 year to estimate what the demand is in Nigeria will be very wrong, because all these main manufacturers were able to sell 100% of what they produced. So the sales are not a true reflection of the demand, because we all believe that if we had produced more than what we did, it would have been sold. So and it is mostly coming from the private sector. There are so many government projects coming on and they are ongoing, but we have, in the last few years, we have seen a shift whereby the private sector has actually taken the lead, would be anywhere between 75% to 80%. That is where the demand is coming from. Regarding where the prices are going, I think we have answered that question in the answer we provided to the last speaker, but myself and Mr. Finn. And Mr. Finn, can you also add anything regarding the demand, also the consumption pattern in Nigeria?
Yeah, as you rightly say, Yusuf, it's a bit difficult really to point out what is happening, apart from that we see a general shift that the private consumption pattern is gradually changing. You know, as we have observed that even during Q1, we talk about something like 15 to 20% probably, averagely, increase compared to Q1 last year. And we all know that during last year, we had between 15 to 70% growth compared to 19. So we see a significant rise here. And it's clearly, and you can also see on our customer portfolio, that it's more and more retailers. It's more and more geographically spread out to the countries. And even if we, let's say the general public is observing that, you know, the road systems is not really improving, infrastructure is not really improving. But as a matter of fact, it has improved, because today we can see cement moving into the far rural areas, because it's also a little bit boost in the agriculture activities. And of course, all these things is driving not really public project, but is driving the private consumption market. So I think that is the answer. And secondly, we also have to look at the overall picture in the country here, because today we will see that the normal Nigerian's way of spending, he is now moving towards investing into, let's say, property, housing development much more than before. Why is it so? Because this pandemic has also had different complications here in terms of forex, in terms of, you know, the availability for transferring money abroad, all these kind of things means that the Naira is more available now, and you will immediately see it that they will invest in inside the country, and particularly towards building, construction, etc. So this has really been driving the market. The big question is, will this continue? And we believe, as in the business, and we see this day by day, we think this will continue, because still the consumption in Nigeria is low compared to neighboring countries. We still are on around 120 kilo per head, per capita, while Ghana, for instance, is on 270 to 280 as they were last year. So still we are behind the average West Africa. So it's no reason to believe that we will have a setback. So the big challenge for the time being is then to satisfy the market. Yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Uluwasian Sangosanya of Stanbic. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Neil. And thanks on your results. I hope you can.
You can go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. I think most of my questions have been asked, but I would really like to ask on sustainability. In your report, you major more on social and economic part of your sustainability plan. So I would like to ask if there are any plans for your environmental and to ensure that environmental is still more in a sustainable manner in terms of what are you doing with your emission rate? Do you have any specific targets to achieve going forward? And how is that being factored into the business as a whole? And also, just to ask on the second is, was there any exports in Q1? And should we expect more of your products being exported after the completion of your new facility? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ogosanya. Because this is just a quarterly report, we did not put so much of the emissions figures, but we provided this a month ago when we had the annual conference call for the 2020 results. We will try to provide more concrete figures when we do the half year. But definitely, we are paying a lot of attention. All our factories are state of the art. They are standard with very minimal emissions. The stringent requirement of EN197 for Europe is being met by our three modern production lines. We are emitting less than 10 milligrams of dust per normal meter cubed of air released to the atmosphere. And the regulations in Nigeria are 3 or 4 times higher than that. So I think we meet even the most stringent European emission requirements. We have done quite a lot on sustainability and other issues, and we will report more on them. We just mentioned those that we have done during the first quarter, especially at our plant in Okpela. In Sokoto, we are doing the scholarships. We have the empowerment. We have distributed drugs to some clinics and health facilities. And also, we are doing quite a lot in terms of electrification in Okpela. Also, the scholarship has just kicked off. We are in the initial stages. We are providing 100 scholarships every year to deserving indigents to study graduate and postgraduate courses in Nigerian universities. The same as we are doing in Sokoto, 50 scholarships every year. So these are some of the things we are really doing. Regarding export, we didn't do much. I have to clarify more on the export strategy. We only export what we call our excess capacity. If the Nigerian market is not able to take up the volumes we are producing, then we export the excess, the surplus that we have. Our priority is Nigeria. So this is being reviewed from time to time. And as we have all mentioned since the beginning of this call, the demand has been extremely strong in the last 1 year. So I think the export that we did was far below 1% of our production. and we have even stopped that to ensure that we satisfy the Nigerian market first. But we will resume whenever the opportunity arises. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Tony Hadley of THA. Please go ahead. Tony, your line is open if you would like to ask a question. We seem to have a technical problem there. The next question is from Janet Ogunkoya of Telemer Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a good result. I wanted to clarify something. I think you've already alluded to it already before. I wanted to clarify. So we saw your competition grow volumes by as much as 14%. Would it be right to say that the reason you grew a smaller volume was because of limited, you know, operational capacity per se? You know, just what you've been saying about, you know, how you're selling out all you're producing. And then is there any plans or in that light, does that mean we should only expect any radical increase in volume after you add your new plant? And when exactly should we expect the... please pardon me if you mentioned this, but when is the new 3MT capacity plant coming on this year, like during Q3? Or should we expect any debottlenecking exercises that would increase operating capacity before then? And then my last question would be on... so your when you were giving your overview of the entire market for Nigeria, the Nigeria cement market, one of the notions I had, you could please correct me, but one of the notions I had was the reason we had high volumes in Q3 was because we saw very light rains last year. So that more or less propelled construction activities. So do you think perhaps if there's any strong rainfall this year, that could maybe affect the extent of growth or the extent of demand that we've seen so far in the market? Yeah, that'll be all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janet. I'm not sure whether I got all your questions, but I got one on the new capacity in Sokoto that we mentioned at the end of this year. We are in the last lap. I know the last lap involves finishing up the mechanical and electrical erection, doing the hot commissioning, cold commissioning, and doing the hot commissioning. So definitely it will be operational before the end of the year. I also got your question on the high volumes. You know, one thing you have to understand about a cement plant is that most of the time we are almost producing at the same capacity. When the market is taking all the product, we sell everything. When the market is low, we warehouse the stock and keep it, so that when the market is high again, we can add that to our existing capacity. So the production does not go up and down, except when you are down for annual maintenance. If you have a very high inventory, or when the demand is low, you may choose to use that period to carry out some overdue maintenance. But the production is usually constant. But what we have witnessed from last year to now is that the demand has been very high. I believe no manufacturer in Nigeria has been able to build up stock during the low season that could have been used during the peak season. Janet, please, if you can just come back to your first and second questions. I didn't get them. I don't know whether my colleagues got those, but please repeat and speak a bit louder.
Okay, so I said my first question was regarding volume growth that we saw in Q1. So in Q1, we saw your competition grow volume by about 14% domestically, and we only saw a 3% increase in your volume. So my question was, you know, is it right to assume that the reason why you had lower sales was because of your limited operational capacity, and should we only expect for that growth when, you know, your new plant comes on board? And then my question on the plant was, when exactly should we expect it coming on board? Is it in H2, maybe Q3, Q4? I'd appreciate getting maybe a specific period for the commissioning. And then the second question I was, there's a notion I had about, you know, the reason for the higher volumes last year in 2020, especially in Q3, that it was, you know, driven by the fact that there was low rain in Q3. So that was probably what propelled the strong construction activities and improved demand last year. So my question is, if we see stronger rains this year, would you expect that to affect the extent of demand, you know, the whole high demand that we're currently seeing in the market?
Okay, thank you very much. I cannot comment on the volume growth for my competitors, but for ourselves, I can really say we'll be running flat out. So that is why you have seen that our production has not significantly changed between last year to this year. You'll only have a change in your total output if you add on more capacity, which we have not done. But by the time we add on more capacity towards the end of the year, then definitely the 2022 numbers will be much higher than 2021. So, and I think I've answered when we are going to commission the new line in Sokoto. It will be before the end of this year. There are a lot of things you do when you are carrying out the commissioning. There are stages, and it depends on how fast it goes. Sometimes even how lucky you are, you can conclude the commissioning much faster than the normal period. But definitely before the end of this year, we are going to have that new line operational. We mentioned, maybe I think it was during Q3, we actually mentioned that last year we had a very short rainy season, and that probably impacted the demand. We had very high demand last year. But now we know there are also other factors that are at play. Some of those that have been mentioned by Mr. Finn, and also the movement of investment to new asset classes, especially in infrastructure, the prolonged lockdown over the world and the pandemic, out, a lot of dollar trapped in, converted to naira, people building, the monetary climate, the interest rate, you see the crash in the treasury bill rates last year. So all this impacted. So it still might be that even this year, if we have a prolonged rainy season, the pent-up demand can still sustain the present levels of demand that we are having now. Anyway, we will get there in the next 2 to 3 months, and then we will see. But all indications are that the demand is going to remain strong. We have huge backlogs. Even if new people stop paying, I think those that have paid would like to collect their products and use it. They can't leave it with us. So for us, I think it will be business as usual, as we have in the peak season. Next question, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Adedayo Ayeni of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Just follow up from me. What would you say just to help me understand, what would you say the typical downtime is for a cement plant? And the reason why we ask is, you know, not only yourself, your peers also talk about, you know, we couldn't meet demand. Demand was strong. But if we aggregate all that demand versus installed capacity, it does look like the industry is operating at, you know, somewhere between a 55 to 60%, I think even lower, utilization, gross level. So what would you say the optimum sort of like, you know, utilization level is for like a plant? And what would that, you know, one less your utilization rate take up? What would that be? Would that be for maintenance works? And if you were doing your annual maintenance works, on average, how many days in a year does it take, right, for, say, a relatively new plant like yours? That's the first. And maybe secondly, on the FX situation, could you just help us understand in your relationship with, you know, the banks and you're trying to get your FX needs, on average, how long does it take you to obtain what you would require for, say, you know, your imports, whatever those are, and, you know, say you wanted to pay your expatriate staff. On average, how long do you stay on that central bank queue to obtain your FX needs? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. The typical downtime in a cement plant actually depends on the age of the plant, the technology you are using, the problems you have had, which could be process related or maintenance issues. So you a finger on it. Some plants are able to operate 270 days in a year out of the 360. Some plants are able to do 300 days. We have had two of our kings ran for over 330 days last year. One did 332 days. So it was just down for less than a month. So, and where you do your turnaround maintenance, like I said, it depends on the level of jobs that you have. It's not the maintenances you carry out every year are repetitive. No, there are some that you do after 3 years. Some you have to do every year, like when you are changing the refractory, especially in the burning zone of the kiln. So definitely all these are going to impact on how long you are down. The age of the plant also matters quite a lot. Plants that are older will require more level of maintenance because of the normal wear and tear. So definitely these are some of the things that I can just say. Thank you very much.
Yusuf, just kind of a
yes.
Input or complementary to what you are saying here. Huh? I mean, when you are designing up a cement plant, you always have to have surplus capacity, because in a country like Nigeria, you will always have seasonal fluctuation, and the design factors has to be that you have to be able to meet your market expectation during the dry seasons. So that is always the factor. So that means in a normal season of fluctuation, last year was not normal, but when you have, let's say, 4 months of rainy seasons, of course, you will generally have less utilization of your plan. So that's why you will see that when you are designing up capacities, you always need to have proper surplus in order to maintain this during the season. And I also would like to say that, you know, you also have to look into the concentration of capacities. You know, in many countries, you have smaller plants. But in Nigeria, the tendency here is that you are building up big concentrations. You know, we are also building up higher concentrations. So, but everybody has to assess the logistic and the infrastructure challenges linked to this. Huh? The bigger the capacity concentration you have, the risk for you not to be able to run on a kind of an average high percentage is there. So this is a kind of a balancing act, how you will do it. Eh? If you get into 5 lines, for instance, as we know from some of our, one of our competitors, of course, that is a challenge to handle with 1,000 trucks in, out, you know, into a plant and so on. You don't need to be know the business very well to understand that this is a challenge. Eh? So it's a lot of factors which is built into the efficiency and the rate, what you will see in practical terms. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Also, your second question. Yeah, Mr. Jack can talk on that,
yes.
On the Forex.
Thanks, okay. Yusuf. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, on the FX side, you know, we are not different than anyone else. So we are trying to source our dollars, of course, from the CBN or using the INE window. And the duration is very difficult to say, but as you know, everyone is struggling to get these FX. And it can take weeks, months, even sometimes. So we're trying our best. We're using our the main Nigerian banks and even smaller ones, and we are trying to collect from wherever we can. But in general, this is the way we proceed. So nothing different than anyone else.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ayoluwa Asiweye of United Capital PLC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me, please?
Yes, we can.
Thanks for the opportunity. I think most of my questions have been asked, actually, but I just want to know, you mentioned that the plans to issue the Series 2 bonds, the second tranche of your bond program, you know, are underway. I'm monitoring the yield environment. So can you just please just shed more light on that? And also, I remember you guided that the power plant that's being constructed in Adamawa will be finished by Q4. Is that also on track? And those are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Regarding the Series 2 bond, you know, we initiated a 200 billion naira bond. And in the first instance under Series 1, we went to the market to get 100 billion naira. We ended up taking 150. Definitely, we are going to do the Series 2 in the future. This all depends on the commitments for payment for the new projects. So that definitely is going to come on stream, and we will let the public know when this is going to open. Your second question regarding the power plant in Adamawa being commissioned in Q4, I'm sure it's not from Boasment. We never said we are going to commission a power plant in Q4. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have no further questions in the from the conference call. Ladipo, could you just go through the questions from the webcast?
Okay. We have no questions. All questions have been answered on the webcast. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have Mr. Tony Hadley back online. Sir, would you like to ask your questions?
Yes, please. Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, sir. Thank you.
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Excellent. Good afternoon, and well done for those very good results. I'd just like to build on a couple of points. There was the discussion on a previous speaker on the capacity utilization, and if we look at Nigeria, it's got a nominal 52 million. Tons of capacity. So whilst I can understand fully that you were in ramp up last year and hence sold out, there's very, very low performance from the other two players in the market. So perhaps you could comment on that. And linked into that, you're talking about holding your prices stable. So I guess that means your objective is as you build the performance of the existing capacity and obviously the capacity that's going to come in at some point in 2021, you're anticipating growing your market share. Do you see any consequences of that? And the last question is, what will be the CO2 impact, positive impact for you moving from LPFO to LNG? And do you foresee a time when you will push the government for carbon taxes? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony, for your very nice comments on our performance. And as you have mentioned, we have been running flat out. And like I also mentioned, we will only see an increase in our total volumes when we commission our new plant. Now we cannot do more than what we are doing. However, I will decline to comment on the low performance of our competitors. I will leave them to explain that to analysts and investors. That brings me back also to this capacity utilization we are talking about. Figures of 52 million tons have been mentioned, and people will say, okay, why did all the manufacturers did only 27 million in 2020? And so that, you know, people will talk about 55-60% capacity utilization. Now, the way capacity utilization works is a theoretical maximum. And from my own experience in the Nigerian cement industry, the capacities that have been mentioned are really tied to a particular grade of cement. Now, when you are producing the cement type with a lot of additives, you will be able to have more capacity than somebody that is producing a different type of cement. Let me be very specific. For example, if we have plants A and B with a clinker production capacity of 6,000 tons per day, but plant A is producing 32.5 type of cement or a different grade that you add more limestone to it. So the ultimate cement volume can go up to 9,000 tons per day. While plant B that decide to do maybe type A cement or B cement, the maximum additive is 5% or B is 20%, you know, then that plant B will only be able to do like 7,500 tons per day. So the capacity is really dependent on the type of product that you are pushing. So if you are producing a very, very high quality cement, ideally the capacity utilization should be derated. But we keep taking one single figure. So most of these plants are operating above the 55-60% that has been mentioned. Of course, there are some that are at that level because of their technical condition and age. But for us, that is not really the case. Like I mentioned, we have had a kiln that ran for 332 days non-stop. If you, that's over 93% run factor. And also in terms of capacity, it was doing like 105 above the rated capacity. So by the time you calculate the operational efficiency, you would get something like 95%. Anyway. Yes, Mr. Tony, I think when we have our half-year results presentation, we'll talk more about the CO2. Now we want to see the impact as we move on to LNG in Sokoto, and we'll see to what extent we can be able to push the usage of local gas in place of the imported LPFO, and then definitely then onwards we'll be able to talk about all these tax credits. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Gentlemen, we have no further questions in the queue. Mr. Benji, do you have any closing comments?
It has been a delightful time having you join us on this conference call today, and we look forward to having you join us for the half-year 2021 conference call sometime end of July or early August. Thank you for listening and have a very nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this event, and you may now disconnect.